Sorry, Adrian. Hope it still works.
Of course it. Good morning again. And add my welcome to Sarah as well, particularly so you see so many of Caritas' family with us this morning. It's great to have you with us, and any other people who are visiting this morning, it's lovely to have you with us. We're in the season of Lent at the moment. We're looking at some Psalms in the Bible which lead us towards the cross. I need to be careful walking around here, don't I? I do tend to walk around a bit, okay? So maybe I should hold on to the lectern a bit. I came across a story this week that sort of made me chuckle a little bit, but a story that you may have heard before, a story of a man walking along a cliff. Suddenly lost his balance, probably quite appropriate really, where I'm standing this morning. As he was falling off, he managed to grab onto a branch that was hanging out the side of the cliff, and after a while he's hanging there, holding on for dear life. He begins to yell, "Is there anybody up there who can help me?" And the answer, there was no answer. So he shouts again, "Anybody there who can help me?" And he yells again, "Help, help, help, is there anyone up there who can help me?" Finally, a voice comes back. "This is God. I can help you. Just let go of the branch and trust me." To which the man replied, "Is there anybody else up there who can help me?" We smile, but we recognize the truth in a story like that, don't we? But help is one of those words, isn't it, that it's often our earliest words on our lips. I look at little children sometimes, and one of the words that they first learn is help, because they know if they ask for help, they can very often get what they want. As adults, there's an instinctive word that we sometimes cry out, don't we? We find ourselves in a place of trouble. The instinctive word that's on our mind is help, help me out here. And we're surrounded by helplines, aren't we? Ring a certain number and you get a certain expert, it'll be able to help you because there's something that you can't do for yourself and somebody else can help you to do that. So you ring 999, and if they answer it promptly, you're going to get a choice, aren't you? Which service do you require? Fire, police, ambulance? Or if we're sick, we can dial 111 and have a medical expert at the end of the line who says, "Yeah, I can help you." And there are times in our lives, aren't there, when we need help. When we need somebody who can do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And those of you who enjoy growing up with the music of the Beatles will remember the song that goes a little bit like this. "I guess a little bit of help from my friends." That just shows our age, doesn't it? It's great to have the support of friends and family, and lovely to have Caritas family with us this morning. But in times of trouble, it's great to have people who are around us, isn't it? But the Bible encourages us to look a little bit further, a little bit deeper. Because those of us sitting in this room this morning will know from experience that there is no safety plan that anybody can give you that will keep you safe. Even our government's greatest plans around this coronavirus will not keep you safe. There's no insurance policy. There's no security system that can totally guarantee your safety. Life teaches us that if you follow every conceivable health and safety rule, of which there are millions now, things can still go wrong. That if you eat a certain diet and you eat the right kind of food and you do the right kind of exercise, we still face serious illness. And that's what makes this psalm, this short little psalm which we heard being read for us just a few minutes ago, so very relevant. It begins with the same kind of question. You might want to have it open in front of you and just follow it very briefly through. But it's a psalm which begins with a really important question, and here it is on the screen. Where does my help come from? It's a great psalm for baptismal Sunday, Caris, Kath. Where's my help come from? Because both Kath and Caris have discovered the answer to that question. Because the question that this psalm begins with is what we might call the ultimate question. Who do you ultimately depend on? Yes, it's great to have friends and family around us. Yes, it's great to have special friends who rally around us. But where do you go to for your sense of ultimate help? To whom can you ultimately rely on? To whom can you entrust your life to? Well, this song, this little psalm, answers the question because it points us to the living God. It says, "My help comes from the Lord, And those of us who've been here regularly on a Sunday morning know that when we see the word Lord in the Bible like that, that means Yahweh. That is the covenant name for God in the Old Testament, the God who always keeps his promises. The God who has said, I am going to make you as my people and I am going to be your God. That's where our help ultimately comes from. It is help that is ultimately rooted in the character of God himself. My friends, this is an anchor psalm. This is a prayer of discernment. It's a prayer of working out which is the right way to go when we're faced with difficult situations. It's a song that we can sing when things are going well. And it's a song that we can sing when things are going badly. It's a song that we can sing when the sun is shining. And it's a song that we can sing when we're in the deepest valley. Because this psalm is quite literally a song for the journey. It's a song for this journey that we call life. All of its twists and turns. With all of the stuff that life throws our way. It is a song that is designed to be sung as the Old Testament pilgrims made their way up to Jerusalem. It's a song that is there for us to sing to each other. To encourage each other. It's a great psalm for today as we celebrate the journey that's brought Karis here. And Kath here this morning. As in a few minutes they're going to go into this water and I'm going to ask them the question, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Saviour and as your Lord? If they get the answer right, they'll say, I do. You see, our ultimate help, according to this psalm, is not anchored to our circumstances. Hear that this morning. It's not anchored to our circumstances. Our ultimate help is anchored to the character of God. That's why you can find help from God himself. There's three great words in this psalm that I just want to draw your attention to for a few minutes this morning. I want to show you firstly that our ultimate help is anchored to God our Creator. This is really foundational stuff. But look at the psalm. It begins with these words, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? If you make your way to Jerusalem today, regardless of what direction you come to that city, you will go up. It is built on the top of seven hills. In the days in which this psalm or this song was written, it was a dusty, barren journey. There wasn't much shade from the sun. It could be a difficult journey to make. And so the question that's being asked as they make this journey to worship God in Jerusalem, they said, where does our help come from? I've sat and read these verses with many people over the years. And I've seen firsthand the help that these words bring. Because they encourage us to look beyond the hills. They encourage us to look beyond the hills to the God who created them. To the God who sustained our lives. I can remember a trip to Nepal a few years ago. Flying parallel to the Himalaya Mountains. I'm being absolutely staggered that although we were flying at around 20,000 feet, these mountains were still higher than the plane. And I remember thinking to myself, wow. Mountains are symbols of majesty and greatness. They're symbols of awe and wonder. And this song encourages us to look beyond our circumstances, beyond the greatest mountain range that there is, beyond the highest peak, and to fix your eyes on the one who created them in the first place. See, God didn't just make the mountains and the hills. He made everything. The Bible begins with these words, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God has unlimited power. Unlimited wisdom, unlimited understanding. And if he is the creator, then he can be our help. I love Psalm 139. It captures the intimacy and the greatness of our creator God. It says this, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Our ultimate help is anchored to our Creator God. I want you to hear that this morning. It's a great psalm for a baptismal Sunday. It's the second word which occurs in this psalm, and you'll find it in verses 3 to 6. And here it is, our ultimate hope is anchored to God, our protector. It doesn't say protector, but, you know, four times in these verses it says God watches over us. And in the following verses we get to see what kind of protection that looks like. What kind of protection does God offer those whose faith is in him? Here's the first thing it says. It says that God protects us from accidents. Verse 3, it says it's almost a plea or a prayer. Please don't let my foot slip. Plenty of places for feet to slip on the road to Jerusalem. Now, this song is not suggesting that nothing difficult or bad will happen. You've heard something of Kat's testimony this morning, but she's talking about real life. Real challenges, real life. That's what the Psalms do as well. But what this psalm is saying to us is that there is a wonderful stability when we know that God is with us on the journey. And for that reason, God is often described in the Old Testament in terms of a rock or a refuge or a safe place or a fortress. I love Isaiah 43. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name and you're mine. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." It gets better than that. Verse 4, we discover that God protects us in the day and in the night. You've got to love this imagery. Reading from the end of verse 3. "He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." I don't know how well you sleep. I'm not a great sleeper. Do a lot of my mulling and my thinking in the middle of the night. Some of you can get into bed, you can close your eyes and you can wake up when it's time to get out of bed. I have a great gift if you've got that gift. I can tell you, enjoy it. But what the psalmist and what these people are making this way to Jerusalem are saying, you know, we have a God who doesn't slumber or sleep. You see, some of the gods that people worshipped in Old Testament times and in the surrounding nations, would you believe it, had to be woken up in order to hear the prayers of their people, and people would have to wake their gods in order to make sure that they could be heard. We have a God who watches over us 24/7. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't need 8 hours sleep a night. Watches over you during the day, during the night. Verses 5 and 6 protects us along the way. The picture here is of a journey. It's of a God who journeys with his people. The Lord watches over you. It's very personal, this psalm, isn't it? The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, and the moon will not harm you by night. What a wonderful picture of protection. What the psalm seems to be saying is this, that wherever you are going, whatever journey you may be on, whatever circumstances you may be facing, whether you're on the mountaintops or whether you're in the deepest valley, God's shadow of protection falls over you. It's a deep truth. You find it unpacked in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, wonderful chapter in the New Testament, just spells this out for us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It ends with the words, "There is nothing that can separate you from the love that God has for you." And sandwiched in the middle, it says this to us, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. All things. That means your mistakes and your failures. That means the high points and the low points. That means everything that's brought you guys on this journey to your baptism today, God weaves together for his ultimate good. That's the kind of protection that God has over you. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, Yahweh. The covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. It's a great song for a day like today. Karis and Kath, this is an anchor point for you today. We have a God who is our creator. That's where our ultimate help comes from. He's our protector. He watches over you. And this psalm wraps up by saying to us that our ultimate hope is anchored to God, our keeper. Just look at the way this psalm finishes. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. In some ways, this little song leaves the best till last. Your coming and your going is a way of saying you're everything. And this keeping promise is deeply personal. God is saying he will keep you. If your faith is in Jesus Christ this morning, he will keep you. It's your life. It's your coming. It's your going. It's your everything. And this psalm concludes with the idea that God will keep his people. He will protect his people. He will bring us safely home. He's speaking about our final destination. I don't know about you, but I love traveling. I want these kind of sad people who enjoy the journey more than the destination sometimes. That makes me really sad, actually, doesn't it? The longer the journey, the better. Unless I'm stuck somewhere on the M25, one of those horrendous traffic jams where you just don't go anywhere. I love being on the move. I love airports. I love seaports. I love to watch people coming and going. I love to kind of watch those sorrowful farewells that you see at airports sometimes, and those welcomes where the bunches of flowers are there and the big signs are there. Maybe that's because I belong to quite a scattered family growing up. We're used to traveling. We were never together in the same place, so our lives are marked by seaports and airports. Even now I have a brother who lives in Bangladesh and he commutes between London and New York, so that says a lot about us as a family, doesn't it? But this song that we've been looking at this morning ends by pointing us forward to our final destination. The Old Testament pilgrims were making their way to the earthly Jerusalem. They were making their way up that dusty, dangerous journey to Jerusalem because they wanted to worship the living God. If you're a believer this morning and you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're on the way to what the Bible calls the heavenly Jerusalem, the new creation, where God has said, I'm going to make everything new again. And this keeping promise extends from the present, the now, right through to the evermore. This is our God. It's a song that points us forward to the New Testament and to the person of Jesus Christ, who through his death and his resurrection has conquered death and paid for our sins, who through God's keeping power walks with us through death itself and brings us safely home. That is the faith that Karis and Kath will profess in a few minutes. It is a faith that anchors them to the character of God. Karis and Kath have discovered that God is their ultimate helper. He's the God who creates us, who sustains us, who gives us life and breath. He's the God who protects us and watches over us. He's the God who keeps us. So let me ask you as we conclude, as we come to baptism in a few moments, to whom do you turn for help? How would you answer that question this morning? Where does my help come from? And maybe you can point to family and friends. And people have walked with you through thick and thin, and thank God for those people. But the question here is one of faith, isn't it? It's to whom do you ultimately turn to? It's a question of discernment. To whom will you ultimately trust your life with? You see, that's the invitation on this special Sunday, this baptismal service, this first Sunday in Lent. Will you lift your eyes to the hills and beyond the hills to the one who created them? Will you trust God to protect you and keep you? Not just in the difficult times, but in the good times, on the mountaintops and in the valleys. You see, the kind of help that God offers isn't SOS kind of help. There are times when God answers our SOS prayers, but you know what God wants most? It's a relationship. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He invites you to enjoy and experience a relationship with the living God. My help comes from the Lord. That means we come, we stand, in a sense, at the foot of the cross, where Jesus died and took the punishment which we deserved. It means coming to that place where Jesus was abandoned by God so that you and I need not be. So let me ask you as we conclude this morning, where does your ultimate sense of help come from? Here in this church, we love to help people. It's part of our vision. We are here to help people to follow Jesus. We are here to help one another to follow Jesus. A day like today is to help us to keep on following Jesus. And this psalm invites you to place your trust in a God who created you. God who protects. God who keeps you. I think a great way to conclude this morning would be to read this psalm together out loud. And in a sense, to read it over each other. That's what these songs are designed to do. You'd be very glad I haven't sung this song to you this morning. That would really finish us off all together, trust me. But we can read it, can't we? Wouldn't it be great on this Sunday, when we are encouraging Cass and Karis to make that public profession of their faith, to encourage each other through this song as we make our journey to our final destination? Shall we read it? Not just out loud, but in a sense, over each other's lives. Let's do that, shall we? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Amen. We're going to do one more thing before we sing. You may have noticed that when Marcus and Roz were at the front here, I prayed with them. Wonderful blessing of God over their lives. And I'd love us to do that over Karis and Kath this morning. To pray God's blessing on this day, that God will keep you as you make this important declaration of faith. As you go into the water in a few minutes, and we promise that we'll lift you back out of the water again. We want to pray over you. So where you're sitting, Karis and Kath are sort of in